Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for Closing the Wealth Gap. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you how to close the wealth gap in your own life with the man who's done it for many, our wealth coach himself, Tyrone French. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, Paul. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of Closing the Wealth Gap. I just want to say right off the bat that I appreciate our listeners. I appreciate the feedback that we're getting. I appreciate our YouTube audience. And, you know, we just want to make sure that we're bringing you quality content or things that you can. We're taking these complicated concepts and trying to break them down in bite-sized pieces to whereas you can not just understand what we're saying, but you can actually implement a lot of the concepts that we're talking about. And we're here as a resource. And I just want everybody to know that, hey, look, you got this app that you can use, that you can contact me. It's closingthewealthgapapp.com. Closingthewealthgapapp.com. You have my entire business in the palm of your hand. And just, you know, use it or call Tyrone. When you're ready, just give me a call, 877-296-5192. Let me repeat that number again. It's 877-296-5192. And here's the man of the hour that's he keeps everything going behind the scene. Paul, I want you to jump in here and introduce yourself again. I mean, you need no introduction.
I need no introduction. I'm the man on the street. I'm the audience asking the questions, saying, really? Yes. What? How? Come on. And yes, the one who admits, I hate to say it, nobody needs this more than I do.
Well, we all need it. We all need it to a certain degree. And, you know, we all make those mistakes. But just like the song, you know, we all need somebody to lean on from time to time.
Yeah.
And that's what this show is designed to do. You know, lean on us. If you got a question, give us a call. You know, if you got a phone in your hand, shoot us a text message. You know, my app, you can just text Closing the Wealth Gap at 26360 24/7. Now, you know, if it's 12 o'clock at night, I may not respond to the next morning.
No, but hey, you know, probably
at
will.
Least you woke will. Up in the middle of the night, you were anxious about something, you got in contact with a wealth coach that can literally find that answer for you. And Paul, I'm just going to tell you, I don't know of any other company or service that does that.
I don't know of anybody who spends as much time trying to educate, inform, connect, cajole, cuddle, push, provoke, promote. I mean, you're just out there on a mission. You're a man on a mission.
Well, it's a service, Paul. It's a labor of love. And, you know, we sometimes say, if I had known then what I know now.
Oh, boy. All the
you know?
Time.
So we have an opportunity to relay this information to the people where we were, you know, 40, 30, 20, 10 years ago. So today we're going to talk about, you know, it's a subject that, you know, it shouldn't be frustrating to a lot of people, but for a lot of people it is. We're going to talk about taxes.
Oh,
we're going to talk about income tax.
Oh, boy, I don't know.
We're going to talk about corporate tax.
You're really going to go there?
We're going to go there.
I liked you up until now.
It's one of those subjects where their eyes glaze over. But once you understand how crucial, it's almost like, remember having back in the 70s and 80s, you had the car key. In order to get into the and open it, in order to open the door, you had to put the key in the door to open it.
Yeah.
Or in able to start the car.
Not that long ago. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So the car goes; it would go nowhere without having that key, and the taxes are a key element to your financial success.
So here's my question, and let's bring in your guest first, and I got a question for him. And introduce your guest, and then I'll ask the first question. I'll let you guys run.
Oh, here's the thing. My tax guy, Kafori. Now, a lot of people would assume that I'm saying he's my personal tax guy, but that's the name of his business. And that's what got my attention.
Brilliant.
My tax guy, Kafori. And I said, you know, I got to meet this guy. I got to reach out to him. I got to find out, because just that marketing alone, it was interesting. And again, to talk about taxes, his name is Kafori Dae. Again, he's a tax expert, and he's somebody that, you know, I'll have a question, and, you know, I have a lot of other resources, but again, I would call him up, or I'd send him an email, I'd send him a text message, and he's the type of guy that said, you know what, that's a great question, let me get back to you. And guess what? 100% of the time, he's always gotten back to me with the correct answer. So, Kafori, welcome to the show, sir, and you know, introduce yourself.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. How you doing? My name is Kafori Nye.
And spell it for everybody who's trying to quickly Google you here. How do we spell Kafori, and how do we spell your last name?
Okay, well, you can Google My Tax Guy Kafori. You spell it K-E-F-O-R-I-E. That's the first name. Last name is Dye. You spell it D-H-I-E. You can type in Kafori Dye or My Tax Guy Kafori, and that should pop up.
Well, I love the name. We were both intrigued at how you came up with that. But before you tell us the backstory of how you got into this, let me ask you my overall question, and I'll let you guys run. We spend so much time, we as business people, small business people, spend so much time writing a business plan, planning our business, getting the right location, getting the right website, creating our sales and marketing, maybe like Tyrone's doing, creating social media and content marketing and storytelling. A lot of effort on that, a lot of effort on sales and setup. I got to tell you, I spent absolutely zero time thinking about my taxes when I set this up. Was that common? And if it is, why is that such a problem?
Well, for many people, taxes are complex, and that is very common. A lot of people get into business, they focus on how much money that they're going to make.
Right,
exactly.
And a lot of them don't have relationships with tax professionals, accountings, or, you know, they don't have these relationships, so they don't know.
And so what happens is you go to your tax guy and you say, oh, man, how much? Come on, you got to get that down. And, okay, so maybe he's a little more creative, maybe find something. But do you ever just say to clients, hey, maybe if you planned this different, set it up different, we'd have a different result?
All the time.
So talk about
what got my attention and what got me to really focus on taxes is that I realized that I was losing money. And it's almost like having an inner tube where I'm pumping air into this inner tube, but I got 4, 5, 6 holes going out the back. And so I'm busy trying to keep air in this inner tube and I'm losing it on the back end. And guess what? That became my norm. And so when I finally figured it out to where I had these holes that I need to plug up, then guess what? The effort was, it was almost effortless. You know, I put a system in place to where I didn't really have to think about it, didn't have to worry about it. But my 2 cents on the show today is just to have people to change their mindset to say, or to even think that, hey, look, if I don't take care of this situation, I'm losing money on the back end, or I'm keeping money on the table that I could literally be putting back into my business or using it to enhance my lifestyle.
So give us some idea. We're going to talk stories today. Give us some examples. That's the idea. I buy the idea. But when it comes to executing, I think that's not going to make that big of a difference, or it's too much effort, or I'll do it later. There's 100 reasons I put this off, mostly because I don't know how to do it. And I somehow think it's dry and boring and dull, and it's not going to pay off much. Does it have a dramatic result if you set it up differently? Do you get dramatically different results, or just marginally, just a little bit?
Well, you get dramatic results. I mean, when you plan your expenses and your deductions and utilize the IRS code, yes, it helps a lot. You know, it's like anything else. You need to go in with a solid plan. So,
hey, can you give me an example of one of your clients to whereas, you know, they thought it was, you know, this nightmare scenario, didn't want to do it? Because a lot of times when you think something is hard, it's difficult, you kind of procrastinate on it. And then all of a sudden you find out how simple and easy it is. Now you're reaping the benefits of that effort. So to give us an example of two examples of one where a nightmare scenario where it didn't work, and actually one of those euphoric situations where the light bulb came on and it flat out worked.
Well, I had a tax client, she didn't plan, and her expenses were off the charts, to be honest with you. And they could have been avoided if we had planned, you know, if things had been allocated right, in form of the tax deduction that she was entitled to. And I had another client with similar situations, and we planned, and she took advantage of the deductions, and it saved her $3,000, you know.
Give me a specific. Give me a specific as far as the backdrop of the story. What was she going through? What was the pain? Because a lot of times people don't address the issue until the pain is so severe. And I'll give you an example where I had this story with this guy. He was a salesman, door-to-door salesman. And, you know, he knocked on this one particular door and, you know, got cussed out, and he was going to, you know, he was done for the day. He's like, you know, I don't have to take this. But he was walking back to his car and he saw this guy sitting on the porch. So he said, you know what? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Let me go ahead and, you know, try to, you know, pitch this guy. And, you know, he's walking up to the door and he saw this hound dog sitting on the porch. And so he went to introduce himself to the guy, and the dog was just moaning and groaning, moaning and groaning. And so, again, he was trying to ignore the dog to, you know, to get his pitch across. And then finally, he couldn't ignore the dog anymore. He said, sir, he said, I noticed your dog has been moaning and groaning ever since I stepped up. He said, what's the problem? And he said, oh, that dog is just over there laying down on a nail. So the guy's like, well, he's laying down on a nail, then why don't he get up? He said, it doesn't hurt bad enough to get up. He said, it only hurts bad enough for him to moan and groan. So a lot of times we find ourselves in that position to whereas the pain is not severe enough to whereas we can go ahead and correct it. So I want to give us a scenario where somebody, you don't have to get to the all the details, but just a scenario as far as somebody having that pain, they did the correction, and all of a sudden they're so thankful that they become a lifelong client.
And what kinds of corrections? Give us, you know, so what was the problem, what was the solution, and what was the outcome? I want to, because I get what you're saying, but I don't know, is the pain bad enough, is the solution simple enough for me to get off the nail?
Well, a lot of times they don't know what they can deduct. They don't know what expenses
exactly
they can use. For example, like business credit. Okay, so if you have business credit, you can write that off. You know, I had a tax client that didn't know that. So I'm talking the interest on the credit card that they used. They didn't know that. So once I explained that to them, she was able to utilize that.
The interest on the credit card. So I have a business credit card. I'm buying my supplies. I'm paying rent or whatever I do with this credit card here. And there's this, I guess, I think about it. There's a certain...
Well, it falls under the IRS code 162, being ordinary and necessary for the production of your business. It's an asset, so you can use that. So there's many deductions that a lot of people really don't know. You know,
and not only do they not know, but even if they know sometimes that they can make those deductions, they're afraid to do it.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Here's another thing that I want to bring up. It's just like a business loan. You go into business, you got this loan, and not knowing that you can deduct the interest from that business loan. So when you're paying back the loan, you're paying back principal and interest. And so a lot of people assume that they can't deduct 100% of that loan. But what you can do is, again, you can deduct the interest from the loan based on what the bank is charging you. So you're basically getting money for free, and you're using the tax code to do it. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. A few things that I would like to point out, too, that you were speaking. When they start up a business, they also can write off starting a DBA, filing a DBA, as well as their insurance and rent and lease fees. That's something that my clients really did not know.
So basically what you're doing is when you're going into business, you're actually partnering with the government or basically with the IRS, and they have a playbook, they have a rule book, and they're saying as long as you abide by they'll call it the tax code, as long as you abide by these rules, then you're going to get the benefit of it. However, conversely, if you don't abide by these rules, then we're going to penalize you for it. And it's kind of like somebody playing basketball. And they're going down, they're just running down the court, and they're not dribbling the ball, and they put it in the hoop, and they're expecting 2 points. When the ref was, they wave it off because you didn't follow the proper guidelines and the rules to qualify to get the 2 points.
So let me ask you another question here. So I file Schedule C, you know, self-employed a business, and there's like, I don't know, not a lot of lines on there, maybe 8 or 10 or 12 lines. It's not a whole ton of them. And they're generic things like business expenses, car expenses, or whatever. It doesn't say your DBA. It doesn't say the interest on your credit card, business credit card. So it doesn't prompt me to think of these things. They're categories. And then my assumption is I either don't think of it, or I'm afraid to stick it in. I don't know if that's going to go in that bucket or this bucket or whatever. And so, and I don't even keep track of them. Is part of it the code? If it was a really complex form and had all these choices, I'd go down and check them all off. But because it's generic, I only think of generic expenses.
Well, that's why you need to speak to someone like me, Paul. And not to
be arrogant,
but
that's why you need a coach.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Gafari. Go ahead.
Can I go back to what you said about the Schedule C and the interest?
Sure.
Well, as a matter of fact, on the Schedule C, Part 2 on line 16, you can deduct your interest. They do have a line for that. And also on line 23, it's for taxes and your license. So it is there. You would need to have someone that understands that would guide you through that. You know,
obviously, absolutely. It's not
so
me.
Paul, kind of look at it like you're getting dressed in the morning,
yeah,
and you're putting on your belt, but you missed the belt loop in the back, and you wouldn't see it. So yeah, it would take somebody to come up to you and say, hey, look, you know what? You're missing the benefit of keeping your pants up by putting the belt through through all the loops. And that's what Gafari brings to the table. He's able to look at somebody's situation and to identify where they're missing that loop.
Tell us some other bad stories. Tell us some of the scary things out there. What are we missing? You must have a million horror stories. Share. You don't have to tell us some names, obviously, but give us some stories.
One thing I would like to say is, being a tax person, we don't have a good image. It's like,
no,
we come in to take money for
on that. We agree.
Right. Yes. No, I'm going to be honest with you. Before I started doing taxes, I was actually a client myself. I operated a commercial cleaning company, and one of my clients was a tax firm. So that's how I got into it. So I really understand,
let's put it this way. I don't say to my wife, hey, honey, let's go talk to the tax guy. Yeah, let's go meet with him today. That's the last person I want to meet. That's like meeting the dentist. I only go there when the pain is unbearable.
Right. But you need to be honest with you. You need to make friends with the tax person because they can help you. I know there's a lot of do-it-yourself programs out there.
Yeah,
and, it's basic data entry. I mean, you can do that, and it does the calculations for you.
Right. And, we've been talking about basically businesses and business taxation and stuff. But even as an individual, some people mess up by even just the way they file. A husband and wife, they may file jointly, and then you may have, a married couple that's filing separately. Can you explain to me the difference? Because a lot of people kind of have that question. They kind of mess that up. Can you explain the difference between filing jointly and filing separately, being married?
Well, when you file jointly, that means both of your incomes are evaluated as a gross income. That's like what you're taxed on. Now, when you file separately, it's complex because originally when filing separately, the status was created for people that was legally separated, divorced couples that was unwilling to file jointly, for tax beneficial purposes. Okay. And it also distanced them from, liabilities, like if one was being investigated of, tax evasion. So that's what that was created. Mm. And the difference is when you file jointly, your tax deduction is much higher. You're looking at about $24,800 in a deduction, and anything over $5, you're going to get taxed on when you file separately. So the best thing for a person to do is to go ahead and have that divorce decree filed, and that way they can file separately. And if they divorce and they have the kids and they take care of the kids, for more than half of the year, then they can claim head of household status.
So can they both claim head of household status or just one?
No, they cannot. Whoever has possession of the kids and is providing support more than half of the support for the kid over and the kid is in the house less than a year, little over 6 months, then they can claim the head of household status.
Well, you're again giving me lines and figures and ideas, and I'm trying to come up with the concept. Is the pain bad enough to get off the nail? Tyrone said it all. I'm a moaning dog laying on the front porch, hating taxes, hating going to the guy, but why don't I get up and stop moaning about it and do something about it? Let me give you another example that I'd love to hear about. It's not just the positive side, the greed. Hey, you can do better. Let's talk about the fear. What if you screw this up? I've heard lots of horror stories. People I know got into big trouble with the IRS and the penalties added up and went and chased. And like the, I'll give you one example. A guy I knew years ago, not me fortunately, but another guy I knew, relied on an accountant to do his taxes. And I guess he relied on his partner to do his taxes. And somehow the guy screwed it up badly. And they split up and he kept the business. And all of a sudden, he got a bill from the IRS for like $100,000. And he's like, $100,000. And they start going back and forth and everything else. And he says, well, I'll declare bankruptcy. It's personal. He couldn't declare bankruptcy on that. He was shocked. So he took him years. And the penalties are going so fast that it's like it's almost like he could never catch up. Talk about, there must be lots of cases like that. If you do it bad, you can get into deep problems for a long time.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And tax debt resolution is a booming business. So
it is.
You do not want to owe the IRS. Okay, you really want to have your things planned out to where you pay your correct amount. So yeah, there's a few clients that I have that didn't do that. They kind of skipped on taxes. They kind of skipped
and got into sure. A lot of small businesses, hey, they'll take this as cash or this is this or whatever. So,
You know, and I'm going to jump in here too. You know, a lot of people, and this is a common mistake where people are getting ready to retire or they have 401ks that went from company to company and they have that retirement money at the other company. So they decided to take possession of that money.
Ooh.
Without knowing that there's a time limit that they need to transfer, because those are qualified dollars, that they need to transfer that money to another custodian. Well, not only did they not hit the time limit, but they spent some of the money. And so and then they kind of found out that, hey, not only did they get penalized, but they have to come up with the rest of that money that they spent just to make that account whole again. So, Kafori, can you speak on that as far as, again, people not understanding the rules in certain scenarios that they can absolutely avoid, but if they don't do it, will turn into a tax nightmare?
And could you ask the question again, please? I mean, are we talking about retirement plans or could you ask?
Well, let's say if somebody has a retirement plan and they want to transfer money from point A to point B or trustee to trustee, is it wise to take possession of that money yourself, or is it better just to have it transfer from trustee to trustee? And I'm talking from a tax advantage or a tax point of view.
No, it has to be transferred from trustee to trustee.
Otherwise, what it happens, comes to you
again,
and it's income.
Again, yeah. Let's say you take possession of that money. What is the outcome of you taking possession of that money tax-wise? I mean, is the government going to withhold some of the money or, you know, speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, there's an early withdrawal penalty. If you take it under, if you're under 56, I believe it is. So there's a penalty for early withdrawals. Yeah. So
penalties, a million hidden penalties. So I think that's why many of us, I hate to say it, overpay rather than try and, you know, some try and underpay. I get it, especially, you know, cash businesses, restaurants or something. But on the other hand, I suspect a lot of people would rather overpay rather than run into a problem later. I'll give them more. I don't want to be aggressive in my deductions. Give them everything they want, and then I'll never have to talk to them.
Paul, do you mind if I say something? And it's going to be nails across the chalkboard.
Sure.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's a good idea to overpay because at least you know you're going to have a refund coming back. It's what you invest your refund in is really what matters.
Yeah.
You know, you can utilize all the expense deductions and help yourself. But, you know, I think that's another thing, you know, my tax clients have. They don't want to pay taxes. And, right. I mean, before I got into the field, I was on the other end. So I understand. But that's why it's very important to talk to a tax professional. Really understand, you know, the whole concept of taxes. But you really want a
right.
refund. That's what you really want, and it's
right.
what you use that refund for.
Talk about
hey,
the Tyrone.
Hey, Paul, here's the thing, though. I'm on the opposite end.
I know. We've talked about this before.
I'm the type of guy that I don't want to overpay. And so because I would rather use those dollars in my business or to create my lifestyle. So, if I have to break even or pay the IRS, a couple hundred bucks, for me, that's more satisfying because, again, I know that the dollars that I'm using, I'm contributing to the economy overall, to whereas it's helping me to receive certain deductions.
We had we had this debate on an earlier show. That's why I brought this up, because I remember you chastised me. My wife is one of those. Just overpay, and then it's like Christmas. Oh, I get a big bonus. I get money back. Otherwise, she thinks she would have blown it. She probably would have. Tyrone's saying you're letting them have that for interest-free for the government to play with that money.
Right. So, Kafori, do you get a lot of clients that really, they want to, they don't want to overpay. They want to just keep a lot of those dollars, in-house, to whereas, again, they can put those dollars back into the economy to where they can show certain deductions.
Yes, by investing into a business. I mean, so the difference in position, I accept your position as well. I mean, I agree with your position as well about, putting it back into your business. That's what you're supposed to do. And I think it's a transition, for receiving the refund and investing in your business. That way, it works more for you.
Right, exactly. It's a personal thing, it's a personal choice, but the most important thing is to make sure that you're following the rules and you're following the guidelines so that you don't get that letter in the mail that's going to knock the wind out of you.
Yeah.
Right. And scare you, because it's a serious letter. It's a serious letter.
Talk about resolution, because I had a client once years ago, and he said, I wait for them to do it, and then we just settle. He almost like provokes them. Because somehow he thinks he'll get a deal in the settlement. Is that a misperception on his part, or are they easier to deal with than I fear? I don't want to ever get that letter.
Well, tax debt resolution is not my specialty, but I do deal with other tax professionals that do. My understanding is, you can get on an offer and compromise, and I think reduce your tax debt by 30%, I think is what it is. But once again, I'm not a tax debt resolution specialist.
And are you really?
Well, I tell you what, I'll give you guys a personal story. Years ago, I think it was back in the 90s, I started working for New York Life.
Right.
And they had a box on the on that W-4, and I decided to go ahead and say, I'm going to go exempt. And, knowing that, I was going to be able to cover what I needed, whatever. But anyway, I get this bill. My tax guy didn't do my taxes the way this should have been done. And again, I was kind of hands off. I wasn't really paying attention to it. And I get this bill from the IRS saying I owed them $56,000.
What?
$56,000. And so I ended up going the tax resolution. This is over a period of time, because the fees and the penalties were adding up. And I went through tax resolution. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give a shout out to Chapman College. Out there,
Orange County.
They got a tax resolution center out there, and it's a school for attorneys. And what they did was they had the attorneys, the students, took my case, and they represented me in tax court the whole nine yards. They did the briefs, they did everything, and so I went from $56,000 to $12,000. Then they got it down to $1,200, where I had to pay them over 12 months.
Yeah, that's cool.
So tax resolution, it works.
Yeah.
That's not the strategy. This is what was weird. This guy almost provoked it. He said that was his strategy. I'm going to start a fight every couple of years, and the assumption that I'm going to save money doing it. That seems like a high risk venture to me.
Man, I just think you got better things to do with your time than trying to fight the IRS. That's me personally.
Hello?
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry, we were talking over you.
So what I'm saying, if you're going to decide to go exempt, don't go no more than 6 months. And remember, you got to put that money back in there. You're saying that I don't want no taxes taken out of my pay for six months. It has to be taken out. You have to pay the taxes. Okay. Yes. I mean, it has to happen. I mean, if not, then you're going to pay it at the end. You're going to owe. So,
well, we're coming down to the last couple minutes here. We've given lots of positive things, how you can save money, scary things, how you can lose money. What do you tell people when they say, I don't want to, my head's spinning? People right now are listening saying, my head's spinning. I can't, my head's ready to explode. I can't handle it.
Well, I'll say this. You need to get to know your tax person. So you can start by checking me out. You can follow me on Instagram or any social media platform, My Tax Guy Kifori. Google my name. If you're on LinkedIn, you can connect me on LinkedIn. And read some of my articles, read some of my publications, get to know me. And if you have any questions, please reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to talk to you.
And also, if you didn't get that information, because again, this is going to be streaming on YouTube. It's going to be, you know, you're going to have contact with me, on my app, just text Tyrone, text Closing the Wealth Gap to 36260. If you're at your laptop or your PC, just www.closingthewealthgapapp.com. And if you got a question for Kifori, just shoot me a message. I'll gladly relay that information or make sure that you guys get in contact. But don't sit there on that nail moaning and groaning. Get up and do something about
this. That's a vivid image. I get it loud and clear. Well, take us out, Tyrone. This is fascinating stuff. We don't normally delve into these level of details, but I think we got to once in a while because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we got to get off the nail and go and start living life rather than moaning about it.
Well, it's all closing the wealth gap, and you know we want to bring quality and not just how to, because the knowledge is not going to do it for you. Just knowing what to do,
no,
that doesn't
true.
Work.
No.
You know, we got this, there's a seven-step process that I use, you know, for everything. And the first, everything starts with the word. If you don't like the word, then just think thought. It begins with a thought. It begins with an idea. It begins with a vision. And that vision turns into whereas you can hear it, which is that's the first step. You have to hear. We're giving you quality content that you can hear. Then you have to believe that you can apply it.
That's
you have
the tough
to believe
one.
That, hey, if somebody else can do it, then I can do it too. Then you have to have the conviction to start speaking it. Start telling other people that, you know, you're coming out of debt. You're coming through. You're going to take care of it. You're going to resolve these situations that's been just gnawing at you. And
commitment.
Then once you start speaking it, you believe it, then you act on it. And we're not telling you to eat the whole elephant in one sitting. Just one bite at a time. Clean it up one day at a time. And once you get going, then you have to persist. You persist until that thing manifests. And that's the seventh step, which is it manifests. And it has to happen. And then, you have to, which is the seventh step, which is rest. And so
I can't rest because I'm always scared. I'm always being chased. I'm always behind the curve. I'm always the gap's getting bigger. The rich are getting richer. And I just sometimes give up and lay on the nail and just moan about it.
Well, again, if you listen to this show enough, you're going to go through the seven steps. You're going to go through the process. And I'll give you something to think about. Even when you look at the Bible, and again, I'm not a religious person. I'm not that guy that you're going to see in church all the time, but I read this book, this manual, it describes, if you want to be successful in life, there are just certain principles and certain laws that you have to follow. And so even when you look in the Genesis story about the creation, what did God do on the seventh day, Paul?
Last time I read it, he rested.
He rested. He rested. He had the form of rest is where, as far as the tranquility, where you find yourself. You see exactly where you want to go as far as the next step, as far as that recreation process, reinventing yourself. So again, we're going to keep on bringing you these shows, quality content. If there's something, certain ideas that you want, or certain topics that you want to hear, you know, shoot us an email, shoot us a text message. But again, get that app. My business is literally in the palm of your hand, and we're going to help you to close the wealth gap in your life, but not just your life, but but in the lives of your loved ones for generations and generations to come.
Love it. Yes, love it. All right. I'm going to start resting easier. I'm just going to tell everybody, who's your tax guy? My tax guy, Kafori.
Thank you. I got
exactly.
Your back.
All right.
Thanks. Thank you. I appreciate being on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Kafori.
That's our show for this week. Closing the Wealth Gap. The one show, the only show that shows you how to take control of your financial future. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Yeah.